Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I certainly am.
Chris is here as well.
I am sat here being sexy.
Oh, damn right you are, brother. Damn right. Just an inevitability when you are concerned. Now, ladies and gentlemen, scamming people is an extremely dishonourable practice. Scammers try to fool ordinary people on a daily basis with various tricks and schemes, often online, but not always, of course. So today we're answering this question. Have you ever been scammed?
I was very nearly scammed once on a...
Were you?
In a bigger way, yeah. I was looking for an apartment just before I got married for my wife and I, and I was on a website, and it was like, it looked like an amazing flat that was cheaper than it should have been. So that should be the number one flag. So it's in a really nice area of London, and it was probably at 60% of what the rent should be. So I was like, oh, this is what an opportunity. And that's always the thing, isn't it? These things often seem too good to be true. And it was a really bizarre one. I'd never heard of a scam like it. So what happened is the person had said, oh, I need to do some certain checks, which you always, you know, you need checks when you're going to rent. You need to make sure that you've got the money. So what you need to do is wire the deposit to someone you trust and know, like even your wife or yourself, and then send me a copy of the wire. And so you start, and so like if you go to a Western Union, you have to fill in lots of details, don't you? And what it was is that they weren't actually after the money. They were after all my details because it had all my passport details. Yeah. It would have had all that stuff on there. And then it would have been one of those where they copy your
identity fraud.
So it's more that. So I'm looking for the financial fraud. And this was way, this is like another thing. And I remember getting quite far and thinking, this doesn't feel right. And that's always that.
Yeah,
you know, that nagging sensation that it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel right. And I was just like, it was only after about a day of correspondence with this person. I was like, this is a scam. So I then started to ask loads of questions and they stopped responding and I reported them to the website. But it was one of those, even I was just thinking, how was I so stupid? How was I so stupid? Like, you know, it was obviously too good to be true and I nearly got sucked in. But yeah, it was identity fraud. That was the one that I nearly got done by, which is like, oh my gosh, that would have been such a massive bowl of worms to unravel.
There are so many related to property though. I think like there was a really horrible one which I think it was featured in The Guardian because they got a kind of you know, money hero, get your money back kind of thing. And it was someone who, this really scared me. So they were buying you know, a house or a flat or whatever, and they got an email from their solicitor saying, right, okay, you need to send over the deposit or the money, whatever it was. Here's the details. And they were like, okay, that's my solicitor. Like, I trust them. They're normal. And then the money, they later got an email from the solicitor saying, like, where's the money? And it was that actually someone had hacked the solicitor's emails.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And had sent this email being like, please send it here, when actually... it wasn't them. And this person lost, I think it was like six figures of money. It was really upsetting.
Yeah,
yeah, it was horrible.
My gosh,
and it was that classic thing where the banks were trying to say like, well, you, it's nothing to do with us. You did it of your own free will. Like, you should have seen that there was a problem here. But how do you know? Like, you're getting a legit email from your legit solicitor, so you think. So, oh, it was horrible. And I've heard of a few other people as well. Like, I was asking the listeners about if they'd been scammed, and a few people said that they had, especially when they were flat hunting, a bit like you, Chris, people saying, well, can you send us the deposit before you come and look at the flat?
Yeah, yeah, that's a big one.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. And the annoying thing is that you, there are like, when you, especially with properties, there's such high fees involved, whether it's renting or buying. You often do think, oh, how do I not pay these fees? And so you know, there's websites like Gumtree, which is obviously a legitimate website, but people advertise properties on there, and you think, if I do that, I don't have to go by the estate agents and pay all those fees. It's just
The deposit one is a real bugger. I know a couple of people who nearly got done by that, and then sadly a friend of mine lost £12,000 when he was putting a deposit down in Dubai out there with one of those scams.
No.
I mean, you just feel ridiculous. I Well, I got done by a scam once, but I realised immediately what happened, and I managed to kind of rectify the situation very, very quickly.
Is that when we persuaded you to do this podcast? Are you casting that as a scam?
Oh, dearie me. I ended up fully naked on the pier in Portsmouth, but I quickly found some shrubbery to dive into. No, it was a scam that was all to do with TV licenses.
Oh, I've had these.
Yeah, so for those who don't live in the UK, you know, we pay a TV license for the BBC and all that glorious stuff. And you pay it once a year, and of course you do it online because it is an offence not to not have a TV licence. And it was a sort of a perfect storm, really, because I was away for the weekend, and I got an email saying you need to pay a TV licence. And I remember thinking, oh right, it was a weekend away, and I thought, okay, well I'll do that when I get back. But I didn't look at the email. I just saw it, you know, that in my on my phone sort of display screen it had come through. So immediately I'm thinking, okay, I've got to do that. Don't forget that. And then when I got home, it was, oh yeah, I've got a list of things to do. And I thought, well, that's one of them. So in my mind, I've already thinking, I have to do this. Whereas I actually hadn't looked at the email. I then opened the email and it looked very, very convincing. In fact, even when I looked back at it, I thought, yeah, that is, you know, because often with emails, it's spelling mistakes, grammatical errors, that kind of thing.
Or they just say, dear customer. And it's I think you know my name if you're legit.
Exactly. Dear Thomas. That's a strange start, you know. And so, it was very, very, it was very, very cleverly put down. And so what I did was I put in my details and I clicked, you know, pay or whatever. And I suddenly, as I did it, I thought, hang on a minute. I normally pay my TV license in the summer, not at this time. I was like, oh, crap. And I looked at the email address. And the email address is often a giveaway. It wasn't one of those ones with like loads of random letters and numbers. It was put together, but it clearly wasn't it. And I was like, I felt like such an idiot. I feel almost ashamed of saying it now.
You just everything drops in you, doesn't it? You're like, oh no.
But I almost sort of feel a bit silly now, which you know, but this happens so often.
So many people say that, don't they? Like, oh, I can't believe I was taken in. But like the thing, you know, I had a friend who was scammed and I was saying to her, like, it's their literal full-time job to try and make these scams convincing. Exactly. This is how they make their money. Like, they're experts. Yeah. So don't...
Of course.
Oh, don't feel too upset.
No. I'm fine. I'm glad that I...
Go for it, Marcus.
You know, it made me the man I am today. But
in Portsmouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was very fortunate that I caught it and I phoned the bank and they stopped the transaction so I didn't lose. So it was all fine. But about a week later, I got a call from the bank. This guy, he was a Scottish chap, and he phoned me up and said, "Oh, it's your bank here."
Do the accent.
Blah blah blah. I'm not going to do the accent this time. It's your bank here. What's your name?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
You're for now, Doubtfire, dear. Hang on a minute. She never calls me back. This person spoke to me and said, "You know, you've had some recent dodgy activity," and I'm thinking, "Well, yeah, I have." Potentially, we need to do some checks. So can you give me some information? And I went, hang on. The bank never phoned me up asking for information. And I said, if you don't mind, I'd rather phone you. So, but yeah, not at all. He's very polite because I didn't want to have a go at them in case it was the bank. Yeah. Phoned the bank and they went, no, we haven't tried to call you. I was like, bastard! I just spoke to the guy. And I was so annoyed. I wanted to ring him back and give him a piece of my mind. But I thought he'd probably be on some premium number. It would cost me about £1,000 or something.
Yeah.
I was like, spoke to the bleeder, you know.
The thing is, like, there are so many of those, like, people who, I think the whole thing is they want to sound friendly and like, oh yeah, no problem. Like, yeah, my friend who I was saying got scammed, she had the classic one, and this apparently is very common at the moment during lockdown, so watch out everyone, where your air quotes bank rings you and they're like, right, we don't want to alarm you, but we've noticed some dodgy activity. We're going to help you. Don't worry about it. And so they go through and shit, like my friend said, oh my goodness, they were so convincing. I was actually suspicious at the beginning and I was like, how do I know it's you? But she said they were friendly, they were convincing, and and there's that classic, I think us Brits are particularly bad for it. You don't want to be rude. You don't want to say, I don't believe you. Yeah. But yeah, and she lost so much money.
But they're not, as you say, Sarah, this is what these people, these bastards do, because they're not going to be like, all right, love, give us your bank number. Do you know what I mean? That's just not going to work.
Yeah. And so, what's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, like, if the bank never phone you, do they really? No. It's a very rare thing.
I'm so paranoid about it nowadays that, like, every now and then I'll get a text from my bank saying, you know, there's an activity on your account. Press Y or N, reply to this text. I won't even do that. I'll just go online and Google the bank and say, have you sent me a text? Yep. And they're like, yeah, you're supposed to respond to it. I'm like, okay, cool. I wasn't even going to respond to the text. Like, they were like, oh, the fraud team tried to call you. I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm worried that the fraud team were scammers. Like, you know, I'm so worried about it now that I never answer calls. I just like, okay, if it's an important thing, they'll leave a message and then I'll Google the number as well.
You did give money to that Nigerian prince, though, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah. Well, he promised me £1 billion from his dad's bank account because he'd been exiled somewhere.
That was a classic, wasn't it? He needed to get out of the country or something.
Someone sent me a meme once, and it was this whole big pile of cash, and it was like police did raid and found a stash of cash from a Nigerian prince, and apparently nobody wanted it.
After all this, imagine. Yeah. We actually, like,
he was legitimate this whole time.
I love checking out spam, like, email spam folders, just because sometimes, you know, that there is actually legit stuff in there. And our very own show email address, which, if you want to get in touch, show@aqqapod.com.
Unless you're a scammer.
No Nigerian princes, please. We actually had one of someone, and I knew immediately it was dodgy because it began, hello, dear.
I was like, have a conversation. We should do this for the next show.
And again, it was the classic thing of, oh, you know, my father is trying to give me this money, but it won't work. I have to get married first or something.
Like, hello, dear.
You'd be like, I'll do it. Let's lead him along, see what happens.
Should we get him on the show?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be so good.
There was a friend of mine, his father used to work in a bank in a particular part of London, and he said that you would get people coming in to the bank itself with, like, I promise you this happened, he said, with like paper crowns and just going, hi, yeah, I'm a prince back in my homeland, can you give me a loan and all this kind of stuff. And it's just,
is
like,
your homeland Burger King? Did you literally just get that on the way in?
Like, look, I didn't want to believe him, but you saw what he was wearing. He must have been a prince.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Oh, dear me. All those other emails, these are phishing scams, of course. Phishing spelled with a PH, which, you know, because you don't want to besmirch the good name of genuine fisherman.
No.
That sort of make money easy and fast. How would you like to make $2,000 before lunchtime? And you just...
Yes, please. Just,
yeah, like, of course I'd like that, but I have a feeling that that's not what this is about. Yeah.
It's the old thing, isn't it? If it's too good to be true...
Yeah. Why are you sharing your wealth with me? This is mad.
Yeah.
Sarah, sorry, Chris.
And so I asked a friend, I sent a message out to a load of friends about to say if they've been scammed. And one sent me saying back saying that he got scammed for like a modelling thing once. He wanted to see if he could get some good headshots done and stuff.
I've heard of
so
this one.
He went along and then he had to pay a bit of money up front. And then he said they were really rude and not very professional. And then like within 5 minutes of finishing, ushered him to a room. And they were basically like, oh, you now owe us £600. He's like, I thought this was like a 50 quid thing and stuff like that. And basically they were just like, oh, you know, they were trying to pretend that they were legit, but he had to pay them a load of money to get the thing finished. And then he said he basically got out of there, and then they kept on calling him up. And then he had telephone calls from two other modeling agencies saying, we've seen your pictures, you're amazing, we really want you. And he was just like, I think he wanted it for a website, not necessarily to actually model. And he was just like, this is clearly a scam. But it's this like hard sell pressure thing as well. Like, as you said, like when you're, you know, British or, you know, maybe even European, you're like, oh, I don't want to be too rude, but I feel like you're bullying me.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the government do it. One of the messages we got was from Dan Bilton was amazing, because he actually decided he was not going to be scammed. Someone was trying to. So he said he bought a power tool on eBay and it never arrived.
eBay's and, awash right. with some of this stuff, yeah.
Exactly. At that point, you're like, hmm. He said he complained and he was getting all these sob stories. He said that there was a sick parent, then apparently the parent died, and then the chance to like do something about it through eBay. I think it's like a 90-day thing had expired. No further messages. And then he said, what they didn't know is that I was at uni in Leeds where the item was from. So I turned up at their front door with a friend of mine.
Oh, no.
The
no.
dead dad was very surprised to see me. I was reimbursed the following day.
My wow. goodness. I'm so, glad that that's the way it ended because it could have been quite different.
I'm not sure I'd recommend turning up at a scammer's yeah. house, but I quite like it when people kind of do that, like they fight back a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, vigilante Dan.
They're not too worried about being rude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well played, Dan. Yeah, that way that's... blimey.
Yeah, brave. Obviously, like, usually you don't have the opportunity to do that because it's anonymous. Like you said, Marcus, the fake Scottish guy rang you up and you couldn't even get back in touch with him. Like, there would have been no comeback. So I guess he's quite lucky he had an address to actually turn up to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, these things, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Sarah, about, you know, scams during this lockdown time. Local councils in the United Kingdom have recorded a 40% increase in reported scams since the start of lockdown.
Oh.
That is huge.
That I hate that. Like,
it's
that's
awful behaviour.
People's vulnerability yeah. being exploited. I don't know. Oh, I don't know how you sleep if you're a scammer. I really don't.
Well, there's something. I mean, look, any crime is bad, obviously. Blah 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 blah. But you know, there's something really kind of sort of, as I said at the start, dishonourable about it. I mean, some criminals posing as representatives from the National Health Service and all this kind of stuff. You just think, you absolute rotters.
Yeah.
And with regards to people, you know, feeling stupid about falling for stuff, I mean, according to Business Insider, 1 in 10 adults in the US fall victim to fraud every year. 1 in 10 adults. And that figure reached as high as 34% in 2018. So, you know, you're in good company, or should I say, we're in good company for those who have ever fallen for something. You know?
It's like they should
incredible.
They should do like mandatory courses when you're at school about identifying these types of things. I guess the thing is as well is that you, like, if you're not that way inclined to be a scammer, then you're just not looking out for it. It's not on your radar during your day. So then when it happens, it's like, it's a bit jarring, but also it's not even in your mind to do that to people. So it's probably why we're quite easily duped and stuff.
Well, I think that's the point, Chris. I think that's where the real kind of nastiness of this is, obviously people losing money or worse. But that's it. It's so sad, this stuff, because it makes people be a bit more fearful and therefore closed off. You don't trust strangers or people who are being nice to you. You think, hang on a minute, there's a threat here, and it takes away a bit of the joy of life sometimes. That's the real sad thing about this, or one of the really sad things about this, of course. And you then sort of become fearful, and you know, and there's enough going on for extra kind of layers of that kind of crap, and there isn't trust. You don't see the good in people ultimately, and I think you see that more in we talked last week about, you know, city versus sort of countryside and so on. I think that's one thing about the city is, again, you don't know who you're dealing with, and people therefore would be sort of less trustworthy as strangers and less likely to sort of inclined to sort of chat with people on the train or whatever. But this sort of stuff affects everybody now online, so it doesn't matter where you are. That can have an awful effect. Did we have anyone else get in touch with us, Sarah, and talk about their experiences with this sort of thing?
Yeah, oh, there was one that really upset me a bit. So lovely Matt Sledge said it was his first week on the job and he was working at a betting shop. I think he was quite young at the time. Mm. And he got something called change scammed, which I hadn't heard of, but he lost £600 for the business and he ended up getting in a lot of trouble for it.
Oh,
where it's basically a group of people come in and they're asking for change for like a higher denomination of note.
Yeah.
And while, so like they give you loads, and while you're trying to kind of sort it out and all this kind of stuff, they're sort of rushing you and and like kind of like distracting you, and they end up stealing loads of money.
Oh.
And bless him, I just thought, like, especially in your first week of work, yeah, like you must, again, that thing, you must feel so silly, but that's how they make their money.
Yeah. And it's not, not to go too heavily into it, but like that's how labor exploitation and human trafficking and all these things work, because they look for you if you look vulnerable. So actually, yeah, you know, if it's your first week at work and you look young and you look quite green at these things, mm-hmm, you're going to get targeted. It's not going to be the person who's been there 20 years in the job. So it, exactly, it is super sad that it's, oh gosh, young age, like having to pay your work back or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Absolute
and
nightmare.
We had another one, Simon Beale, our official historian,
ooh,
who, thankfully, this one did get picked up. He had a legitimate call from his bank saying, you know, have you made these purchases? And the biggest one apparently was $2,000 on a magnet kitchen.
Blimey.
And literally, apparently, they'd... like the bill ended up getting sent to him and he could see the delivery address on it.
Oh.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, no. So he was like, well, So thankfully, I don't think he did lose any money, but he was saying he doesn't know how it was on his credit card. He doesn't know where it got.
Gosh.
Did it get skimmed or something?
Did he do a Dan Bilton and go around there? Oi.
Well, he should
my
have done.
Kitchen back.
Could have posed as a builder.
Right, that's my kitchen by rights. Give
I'll
it to me.
I'll be taking this, just ripping the cabinets.
Just go in there with a hammer and smash it. No, don't do that. That's wrong.
Yeah, that is definitely wrong. When I was in South America with my good friend Nick, he got his card copied in a hole in the wall. And $10,000 US dollars was taken out of his account.
No.
What?
How
did
bad
he get it
is
back?
That? Well, fortunately, and I would have been using the same hole in the wall, which was in a bank, and a man with shotgun and bullets strapped to his chest was guarding it. So, you know, like we thought to ourselves, that's probably a little bit of a safer option. But you often see things like that in countries like Ecuador. But yes, his card got, mine didn't, but his did. And the fortunate thing was the people, whoever had scammed him, well, it's not really a scam, I suppose. It's it's obviously a crime, you know, it's theft, but perhaps not as sort of traditionally scammy as what we're talking about, people posing as other people and that kind of thing. But yeah, they started to withdraw the money. But we'd crossed the border in Peru by that point, so we had a stamp in his passport to say, look, this is where I was. I wasn't even in the country where it was being taken out. So the bank did reimburse him, which was very, very fortunate indeed. But yeah,
thank goodness.
But that was one of those ones going, they've done what? They've taken how much? You know,
yeah.
I think the average yearly wage in Ecuador was $2,000 a year. So he'd made 5 years worth of average salary. So it would be the equivalent, I suppose, here of, what's the average salary in Britain? I don't know. 25 grand, let's say 25 grand a year or something like that is a nice round number. You know, he's basically made £125,000 in about a couple of weeks work, as he may or she may call it, you know.
Go big or go home, that's what they say, isn't it?
Well, I wish he'd gone home, quite frankly, Chris, to be honest with you, if I could have chosen for the bugger.
Can I
that
tell
was...
you a story about how I've it's more of a blag than a scam.
Go on.
This
go
is
on.
Perpetrated by me.
Oh.
So I was in my 20s and I was newly single, and I decided I wanted to get into as many parties at London Fashion Week as possible.
It doesn't sound like you at all, Chris.
So what I did was I'd found a list. I think they used to print them in the newspapers of the Fashion Week roster, or whatever it's called, and then all the parties. So I'd then Google it and find out who was running the event. And let's say it was Marcus Speller PR Productions. You'd email them and then say, like, oh, I'm from a music company and we're looking for people for our music videos. And they'd always go, we've never heard of you, you're not coming. But what would happen is it would be responded by Sarah Harris, who's organising the event. I'd turn up at the event anyway and go, my name's on the list. And they go, your name's not on the list. And I'd be like, no, Sarah Harris put me on the list. And then they'd be like, well, no, she hasn't. I was like, well, can you go and get her? Knowing full well, if she's running the event, she is not going to come to the door and check the list every time. I was like, she told me an hour ago that I was on the list. And then they were like, okay, just come in. So me and my friend used to get into all these parties and just have loads of free booze and food all the time. A wonderful
amazing.
Time.
Yeah. That's a lovely
you
old job that is.
Horrible little scammer.
It was lovely. Brilliant. And the thing is at model parties, they don't eat the food. So we got loads of food out of it.
I went, oh, Chris.
Marcus, you're like this. I went with...
That is absolutely superb, by the way.
I went with some Turkish mates. You played football with us once at Peter Cech's tournament.
Yeah.
And there's the big lad called Ali. And he used to be an extra in TV shows. And he went up to... There's an actress called Michelle Ryan. She was in EastEnders.
He just
went up to her at this event. He's like, I too am an actor. And she's like, oh, cool. Yeah, what have you been? He's like, I was in Silent Witness. I beat up a woman. And she just looked at him and went, okay. And he just walked off. He's like, oh, it was acting.
I feel like we need a whole show on this, Chris.
Oh, dear.
It was brilliant. They were the days.
That's very, very good, that is, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Not as much the other scam, just a funny story, blag.
More of it's a blag. That's a blag.
Yeah.
But the other thing is when you get people calling you, saying you've had an accident recently, you've had a car accident.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't seem to get them as much as I did a couple of years ago. But again, like they're preying on people, these so-and-sos.
That's what I think is so horrible, is that like, so either you're like, it's someone who hasn't had one, so in which case, you know, they're able to just go, no, I haven't. But if it's someone who's genuinely been in a car accident, they'll be in an element of whether it's big or small trauma, and you're then trying to prey on them even further. Yeah.
But what it's I horrible. Hated as well is they clearly had, you know, a lot of the telephone operators, they have a script that they stick to, doesn't matter what you say. I mean, I got to the point of when, you know, they would phone me up and they would say, you were in a crash, and I would say, yeah, I was. Can you tell me about it? And then they would just read the script. Or it got to the point where I'd even go, yeah, that's right, I died. And they'd go, no, that's right, you were in an accident recently. Yes, I'm now talking to you from beyond the grave. You know? And they wouldn't, but they'd still carry on. And there was one of the guys on Gogglebox, if you've ever seen that on Channel 4, he got a call. And he pretended to be like this little kid, as if like he's some 3-year-old, got the phone and so on. And he was talking to them and he said they immediately hung up. And I used to kind of mess around like that. But they would still carry on.
Interesting,
they don't
actually
give a damn if you were like some, you know, poor little old woman or you're mentally ill or something like that.
They're going for it.
No, I've got my script. I'm going to get what I want out of you. And I just think, you know...
I don't even answer anymore. I just hang up immediately. I'm just like, as soon as they say, I'm just like, no, I'm done. And have you had the ones where it's like an automated, the police have opened up
they're
a file
really
against
weird.
You? And it's like, well, they can pop around and tell me then. I'm not
about to say, I think if the police want to get a message to me, they will. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or will they? They'll have to catch me first.
On the note of getting those calls, we also had an email from James Longley, who, a bit like you, Marcus, said that he kind of takes them for a bit of a ride when they try that. And he said, I haven't been scammed myself, but whenever I get a call asking if I've been in an accident or something similar, I thank the person and I pretend I'm alone and vulnerable. And I'm really thankful for them helping me. I lay it on really thick. And then after a while, I reveal I'm not actually vulnerable after hearing all their scammy nonsense. And I tell them how awful they are for targeting people like that. Hopefully it might help them realise how bad they are, but at the end of the day, it probably won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just move on, won't they?
I do quite enjoy that, yeah. I mean, I don't sort of string them on. That was a few years ago because I haven't had any of those calls for a little while now, but I just hang up or just say, no, thank you, not today.
Yeah.
You're wrong. I take the train, sod off, you know, whatever. Yeah. I just, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's a great shame. But don't be fooled by the scammers, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, take your time, read the email, read the email address.
Always click the sender address.
Yes, inconsistencies, misspelled names.
Call the bank yourself.
Exactly.
Never click a link on an email.
No.
Never click a link or open an attachment.
Never
do any of that. And never answer the phone ever again. Don't talk to strangers.
Get a bunker. Hanker down.
But do get yourself on the guest list for Fashion Week when it comes around again. So there we are. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Of course, as Sarah mentioned earlier, you can email us or get in touch. The email address is show@akqapod.com. And we're on Instagram and Twitter at AQQAPod. Lovely old job. So there we are. Mind how you go with the scammers. And if you are a scammer listening to this, then change your ways immediately.
Amen.
Until next week. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. See you next week.